This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Minnesota Republican Speaker of the State House, Kurt Zellers. He joins me now to discuss the latest developments in that state's ongoing government shutdown and the ongoing impasse between Republican legislative leaders and Democratic Governor Mark Dayton over exactly how to resolve a $5 billion shortfall in the state budget. And Mr. Speaker, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Greg. Thanks for the opportunity.
Obviously, there are many factors probably involved here, but what's the biggest reason the state is facing a $5 billion shortfall?
For the governor, it's always been about he wants to tax the rich, which, again, are our small business women and men. For us, it's always been about the spending. We have unsustainable growth in our state budget, and we come up with a budget deficit. We have $3 billion more revenue being sent in by the taxpayers. Our state, you know, great business women and men of our great state have sent in $3 billion more. The government's wish list was $7 billion more. So this $5 billion number that the deficit is supposedly is only from the fact that the government wants to spend that much more. Doesn't mean that we don't necessarily need to spend that much more.
And as from what I understand, legislative Republicans, yourself included, got the majority in the most recent election in 2010, basically based on your promise not to increase taxes, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Our folks, and we've got 33 freshmen out of our 72-member majority. These folks are businesswomen, businessmen, small business owners, retired business owners, all come, you know, out of a very a small business or, you know, hometown business background, and have said, we're going to go to St. Paul, our state capital. We're going to reform the way government works. The way things have been, plus 10%, or Governor Dayton's original proposal, which was plus 29% new spending, that can't, it's unsustainable, and we will not saddle our grandkids and our kids with that kind of debt going forward. Unsustainable. They came in and said, we're going to go into St. Paul, and we're going to fix the way the system works. And we believe we've done a very good job of doing that, living within our means, and then actually reforming the way government is delivered here in Minnesota.
Governor Dayton is trumpeting the fact that he has commissioned what he calls a bipartisan committee headed by former Vice President Walter Mondale, as well as former Minnesota Governor Carlson on the Republican side, and they've come back with a combination of spending cuts and tax increases. Your thoughts on that plan and that argument that bipartisan team wants more of a mixture than one or the other?
I was willing to be surprised, but we have a former vice president who ran for president on raising taxes, our former Republican, and he is a former Republican. He campaigned for Barack Obama in the last election. Governor Carlson, who promised to blink off a temporary sales tax that, of course, you know, in the words of Ronald Reagan, there's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program or tax. I was not surprised that they came out with, hey, you Republicans, give up your values, give up what you ran on, just raise taxes and kick the can down the road. So it's regurgitated sin taxes, taxes on, you know, things that, you know, nothing more cruel, I don't think, than balancing the budget on Joe six-pack.
It's very coincidental that this debate in Minnesota is happening at the same time there's a fight over whether or not and how to raise the debt ceiling here in Washington. And it seems like the greatest impasse here is also over whether tax hikes ought to be on the table. What lesson or what advice do you have for your party and all political figures here in Washington based on the experience you're going through right now in Minnesota?
The short version, just don't do it. You know, we in Minnesota are looking at the federal government and all of the strings that come with the dollars that they send us. And we're also looking with a very skeptical eye as to whether or not they'll actually live up to those obligations. So rather than count on dollars, which, you know, in the last biennium we did almost $2.5 billion in federal stimulus money, those dollars never showing up again, we believe that we've got to get our own fiscal house in order. And we're seeing this across the Midwest, all across the country, where states are realizing that whatever promises come out of Washington, D.C. may not actually show up with real dollars. So we better get our own house in order fiscally just in case the federal government doesn't. And quite honestly, from a competitive standpoint, we in Minnesota want to make sure we're competitive around the country. But I think the United States of America needs to be competitive around the globe. And if our tax policies and the debt that we've accumulated make us uncompetitive, we won't be able to pass on that same American dream, the Minnesota dream, to our kids and grandkids that we've been able to achieve.
We also saw a story online today, sir, that suggested that at least a little bit the state's bond rating has dipped as a result of the government shutdown and the current impasse. In terms of the people of Minnesota, what are you hearing from them as this goes on and the two sides increasingly dig in where they are on the tax issue?
Well, it is, you know, and we've actually offered, you know, a partial solution for the governor, which was a light bond bill is what a lot of folks have called it. But it's a continuing funding resolution that just says we'll keep it going for 30 days so we don't have to shut down our state parks. We don't have to shut down our rest areas. We don't have certain, you know, units of our state government not in their offices. Let's put a 30-day lights on bill in place. And most folks, when we say that, well, yeah, why wouldn't you do that? And we actually have a number of these bills that we're very, very close on, Greg, that we could, you know, we're off a few hundred thousand or a couple of million dollars that we could actually get into special session, pass those, and then focus on the two or three that we really have left. And unfortunately, the way our Constitution is set up, the governor is the only one that can call us back. He has said that he won't, so we have to explain to our voters and our, you know, constituents that we'd like to go back and pass a lights on bill, but it's in the governor's control. He has said he won't call us back until we have a final budget solution. So, unfortunately, we are stuck with letting folks know that until we can get into special session, we can't turn the lights on.
Last question before we let you go. Not sure how far you want to wade into presidential politics, but related to this story, the aforementioned Mondale and Carlson have said that they believe this is Tim Pawlenty's fault. This is what he left the new governor and the new Republican majorities in the House and Senate. How do you respond to that?
Well, and in full disclosure, Tim Pawlenty is a good friend of mine, and I've already endorsed him for president. So I obviously believe in him a great deal. I think he'll make a great president. I think he's going to do a fantastic job for our country. He is the level hand that the country needs. But the governor actually left us at the end of this biennium, which closed on June 30th, with a $600 million surplus. The want of government that the Democrat legislature, which has controlled both houses the last 4 years, was this $39 billion number. So the governor actually left us with a surplus. The want of government was left behind by the legislature. The governor wanted to make these cuts permanent. The legislature, the Democrat-controlled legislature, did not. So we are where we are with the $5 billion deficit, but Tim Pawlenty did a fantastic job of keeping our fiscal house in order, kept that bond rating you just spoke about up at a AAA rating, and did so without raising taxes on our business women and men in our great state. So I think nothing but very positive things, and have nothing but just absolute utmost respect for Governor Pawlenty. So I think it's probably a little bit of failure on their part, and they're trying to, you know, point the finger across the aisle. And lots of folks here in Minnesota know that's absolutely not true.
Mr. Speaker, we'll let you get back to work. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Greg. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Minnesota Speaker of the State House, Kurt Zellers. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.